Miami-based poet Ángel Cuadra was a true dissident, fighting for democracy in Cuba. He protested against the Batista government in the 1950s, and his underground protests against the Castro regime in the 1960s cost him 15 years in prison. Now, he's a leading intellectual in the Cuban exile community. His great-niece, Vanessa Rancaño, brings us his story and his reflections on changing U.S.-Cuba relations, beginning with the moment Cuadra and his fellow students realized the democracy they'd been fighting for would never happen as long as Fidel Castro was in power.
Teníamos tres caminos. O me integraba al régimen y yo tenía muchas amistades y podía hacerlo como abogado. O me iba del país y no quería irme. O me quedaba tratando de reestructurar, o sea...
Ángel had three options. Join the regime, leave the country, or stay and try to steer the Cuban revolution back onto what he deemed its rightful course. He chose option three.
Y no daba otra vía, pues que la vía subversiva. Y esa fue la lucha que hicimos. En aquellos tiempos, la represión del gobierno fue muy grande.
At that time, government repression was intense. He says a surveillance committee was set up on every block to supervise what was going on.
Se estableció un comité de vigilancia en cada cuadra que estaban chequeando.
You couldn't just go stay with your family for a while. You'd have to report the move to a defense committee and get a permit. Food was limited to ration card provisions, and police raids snatched up people who disapproved of the government.
Estábamos vigilados de todos los puntos de vista.
He says it was like a policeman was inside him. People felt like they were being watched from every angle.
El terror y el hambre.
Terror was the foundation the regime established to control the population, he says. Terror and hunger. How did you start organizing in that context?
¿Cómo empezaron a organizar en ese ambiente?
Creamos una organización, entre tantas que hubieron, una organización subversiva.
They started a subversive organization, one of many. There was no radio, no TV, no media except state-run media, he says. So there was no choice but to work underground. His job was to write for a publication called Democratic Cuba. He wrote under a pen name and distributed it however he could.
Capturaron y fusilaron.
Four of his comrades were executed, he says. But for larger underground networks, the toll was higher. 30, 40, even 50 men. And of course, lots of people went to prison. At the same time, Ángel worked as a government lawyer, and his poetry was being translated into other languages. When he was 33 years old, he got two scholarships. One to study international law at the Sorbonne in Paris, and another to study literature in Madrid.
Para mí era una gran cosa poder tener eso.
It was a big deal for him. But when he tried to make arrangements to leave, the government didn't permit it. He suspects officials already had their eyes on him at that point, because it was only a matter of time until they came after him.
Algunos de los que infiltraron en el grupo nuestro.
It was common for the government to infiltrate underground groups with moles, Ángel says, and that's what he believes happened to his, and what led to his arrest in 1967. One morning at 4 a.m., a team of soldiers and police surrounded his block, forced open his door, and apprehended him, guns in hand.
Por mí no cayó preso nadie. Mi responsabilidad la asumí yo.
After a military tribunal found him guilty of conspiracy, he was sentenced to 15 years in prison. He won't say much about what life was like there, only that it was a different world. He saw some terrible things, and the guards always won the fights.
Y ahí había médicos, abogados, campesinos, de todas las clases sociales en Cuba.
There were all kinds of people in prison. Doctors, lawyers, farmers, but everybody was equal there, he says. They'd all faced the same dangers and suffered together, and that created a brotherhood that was worth as much, maybe even more, than a blood bond.
Un vínculo de sangre. Hemos creado organismos de presos políticos, ¿verdad? Y estamos pensando que siempre que las cosas que pasaron no se pueden olvidar.
After he finished his sentence and moved to Miami, Ángel and his prison mates founded a number of groups for ex-political prisoners. For them, he says, the things that happened can't be forgotten. Ángel says newer waves of Cuban immigrants have a different vision of Cuba. They might look favorably on the dawn of amicable relations between our two countries, but my uncle and his community are as anti-Castro as ever.
Nosotros contemplamos que el gobierno, en este caso, del presidente de esta administración.
For him, the American government has capitulated to the Cuban regime and to the interests of investors who don't care about the well-being of the Cuban people. They're just looking for an untapped market.
En el terreno de Cuba, un campo virgen.
But what about the 53 prisoners the Cuban government released recently?
¿Y los 53 presos que soltaron?
Cuba no ha liberado ninguno.
He doesn't buy it.
Lo ha escarcelado.
He says they haven't truly liberated any of the dissidents. They've just given them a sort of stay until they clamor for human rights again, when they'll be thrown back into their cells. What he's heard from activists in Cuba is that more than 100 political prisoners are still jailed in the country.
Todavía hay ciento y tantos presos políticos en Cuba.
Okay, so is any of this meaningful change?
Es posible si ellos quieren, pero piensen en lo siguiente.
Change is possible if the Castro government wants it, Ángel says.
El gobierno de Cuba,
but they're not ready to give up power. It will always be the same regime. As long as there's no protection under the law and human rights continue to be violated, we haven't made any progress.
Y mientras eso no cambie, nada hemos avanzado.
The story of Cuban exile Ángel Cuadra, brought to us by his great-niece, reporter Vanessa Rancaño.